And this is Steve Cadley with Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. Welcome back. And, of course, we have our co-host today, Mr. Stone Payton.
Well, hello, sir. How are you? It's been a whole week since we were... No, it's been 2 weeks. We had Lee Cantor filled in for you last time around.
That's right. Mr. I think he did pretty good. I listened to the show. I think he represented all right.
He's a pro. We should invite him to play more often.
Yeah, actually, maybe he'll bring on a delighted guest next time he comes on.
There you go.
Of that nature. So we're very excited here. This is, I think we're up to our fourth show here for Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. And we have two wonderful, I'm very excited about the guests that we have today. We have Claudia Javi Goffin from Target Latino. And we're going to be hearing a lot more about her skills and her business and the growth of that particular segment. And we also have a friend that I met on Twitter, Mr. Peter Boyle, from Storyboard Life. And we'll be hearing more about that. Looked at some of his work online, and I thought it was just great. So I wanted to have him on the show.
I love his work on I Love Raymond. Peter Boyle, right?
Yeah, that's Oh, and I just corrected. It's not Peter Boyle. That's Peter Doyle.
Peter Doyle.
So I misspoke. So thank you. I appreciate that. That was there's some. Notes
that's why he was. I thought he was doing jumping jacks.
It was calisthenics, but no, apparently it wasn't. So with that, welcome. And Claudia, I'd like to have you introduce yourself. Claudia Javi Goffin, and we'll go with Javi. Javi. We've known each other a while and gotten a chance to work, so I'm really excited to have you on the show and talk a little bit about, you know, this is Atlanta Sales Talk Radio, so really, but what you do is, I think, pretty unique, so let me throw it over to you.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me in your show. It's an honor and a pleasure. It's a great environment in here.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, you know Target Latino. Target Latino is a multicultural consulting firm that where our main expertise is the generation of word of mouth.
Yes.
And we do that via several different types of strategies, be it grassroots or email marketing, social media marketing, search engine optimization, buzz marketing, etc., in order to achieve a very ROI-driven marketing strategy.
And I will come back to the word of mouth because I think there's a lot in there. But Target Latino, the name of the business, means you would think that you're only doing, you know, Latino marketing. Is that the case?
No. Well, it started like that. But my clients love what we do for them so much that they've been asking us to go into the African-American segment, into the general market, and we've had such success, they just keep us in there. But our main expertise lies within, or we have a strong expertise in the Latino market, both in Latin America and in the United States.
Wow, fantastic. So it's not only do you have that expertise, but you're also a full service marketing shop, if you will.
I would leave out full service because that could include market research, and we actually don't do market research. We try to specialize in everything that is word of mouth. So when a company needs to really make noise, and you know, on this day and age, if they don't hear about you, they're not going to listen to you when you're talking. So
absolutely,
they have to know about you. It's people have to tell others about you. If they don't know about you because somebody told them, they gave them a good reference, or they found it online, or a friend told them, hey, go to this hair salon, it's a great one, or use this, I had tremendous opportunity doing this, or
using the social media platform. So that's really the idea behind word of mouth marketing, is getting people to talk about you, whether it's on a social platform, whether it's someone in conversation.
In real life,
yes. In real life.
So that it's a tremendous, I mean, this is not new. Word of mouth has existed since the beginning of time, when people would say, hey, use a round rock in
marketing the wheel. I like
but
that.
People put a great deal more weight on a reference from a friend or a trusted colleague than they ever would in an advertisement or anything like that, don't they?
Well, of course. I mean, just imagine, like, even cell phones. Don't you go around when you're going to choose your carrier and say, hey, what experience did you have with this one? What about that one? How do you feel about it? And you do ask.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
You read what people write online, if they have too many complaints. Same thing in tourism. Tourism is totally word of mouth. I mean, just when you read the reviews.
Right. Okay. So so tourism, different places like they have. What's this, the TripAdvisor type mm-hmm. of thing?
For example.
As one example. But also the conversations at the proverbial...
You don't have to know the people for them to influence you.
Right. Yeah, that's just word of mouth. Brilliant.
Exactly.
And really what Target Latino does is really help to build a word-of-mouth campaign or a word-of-mouth movement.
We come up with word-of-mouth generating strategies and implement them.
Good. All right. Now, I'm going to come back to something because I recently read something that was pretty exciting around you, Javi, was in, I think CNN had a recent time to invited you to become part of a group. Well, could you share a little bit more about that?
That's pretty cool. CNN came up with a select group of people, 50 people in Atlanta. They did the same thing in New York and in D.C. Mm-hmm. that they consider either newsworthy now or future newsmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the selected ones together with the mayor.
Wow.
It was an honor meeting him in person. He's amazing.
Is he?
Oh, yes. Adorable and amazing.
Stone, I think you did use that word the other day. Did
you? A doorbell?
Adorable.
Adorable.
Oh, my kid says a doorbell.
Oh, no. I think it was, it was a conversation regarding the mayor. And you said,
because he's
adorable.
So friendly. You know,
yes,
he's
no,
so friendly.
Yes,
he's very. I'll tell you what, all kidding aside, he is very pro-business as well. He really is.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, too. I like what he's done with Occupy Atlanta, whatever that is.
Yes.
We're not talking politics.
No.
Sorry. This is a sales show.
Business.
All right, business. So tell me more about this. Is it the New Guild, the CNN New Guild?
The New Guard.
New Guard.
The New Guard, 2011, and that's one of the times that CNN has called on me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, and I think, because I see you have one of the time where you were interviewed on your site is...
That was in the origins of Target Latino. There was a community project. That's how it started. And remember when the census came out in 2000?
Yeah.
And everybody started realizing the number of U.S. Hispanics and all the companies in Latin America were in the middle of mayhem. That was 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really, really bad time for Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And companies were pulling out of Latin America, as it happens, and it has happened before. And I said, why aren't these people looking? They have Hispanics here on their backyards
mm-hmm.
who belong to this, you know, they make dollars. They mm-hmm. don't make
it
any other
yeah.
currency.
Right.
And therefore, I wanted to make an impact, but not by just talking about it. I could have written an article. I could have written a book. I wanted to do it by experience.
Okay.
I'm very experiential. That's part of what we do, too.
Okay.
Experiential marketing. So
that makes sense, yeah.
I wanted to show companies that this market can be targeted and can be won and made into revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And I generated the project, Target Latino, where I engaged over 50 volunteers and most of the Atlanta Latino organizations, 7 American companies, in order to develop 7 different segments with different target segments, strategies for them to implement mini strategies.
Right. So you worked with, this is a startup as a nonprofit type of
yes,
project.
Absolutely.
To how to get and help these corporations target or work with the Latin community.
Exactly.
Latin American
and
community.
That was the first time that CNN found out, CNN en Español found out about us and featured us on their show en Efectivo.
Outstanding. So that really, so the outgrowth of Target Latino started in its humble origins, if you will, is really a startup, nonprofit type of initiative, and it's grown now into pretty much a leading marketing firm here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Very exciting.
Thank
Very
you.
Very exciting. So we're going to come back because I want to talk about some of your clients that you've worked with over the years and some of them, some of the successes they've had. But I want to introduce our next guest. Is Mr. Peter Doyle.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing, Peter? Apologize on that initial misstep. So
no, that's fine. That would have been Niver related. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah. I like your hairline too. I like your haircut. It's very.
Thank you very much. Right, I don't right think right. I've paid for one for quite some time.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm with you. All right. So now you're with Storyboard Life, and
yes,
you and I started just communicating back and forth on Twitter. I have looked at your website, which is www.storyboardlife.com.
That's it.
And That's some of the work that you've done is really cool. And again, this is the
just some of the work. Tell us about the work you didn't like. What is you didn't like about the work you didn't like?
I didn't find any work I didn't like.
Hopefully, I edited correctly.
All of the work you've done is
thank you.
Stone, what? Throw me a bone here, all right? This is working with me. All right, good. So, with that said, so tell us about Storyboard Life and how it came to be. And a little bit about yourself there, Peter.
All right. Well, what Storyboard Life is what I essentially do is we protect legacy, preserve stories of families for children, grandchildren, even great-grandchildren in the matter of wedding photography. That's mm-hmm. what I do. And how it came about with the Storyboard Life is that, you know, I just didn't want to stay with my name. That was pretty generic, but just trying to give a visual when you say the word storyboard life, what that means. Because you can kind of think of when you see a picture, you know, we all know storyboards is they put pictures up on the walls and you know, cartoons and that mm-hmm. type of thing. Well, we do the same thing with our life. We look at a particular picture and we go, oh my gosh, I remember this, 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 this. And you have this whole story just by this one particular picture,
right.
Be it from our, you know, kids. Now my son, who's 4 months, a little bit over 4 months, photographing him all the time, putting
wow.
him up
congratulations,
there.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then just got married last September, so I've been married a little bit over a year. And we're photographing, and then we're going to take a whole bunch of pictures, and next year we'll create a book. But it came from just from that idea that every photograph that you take is going to tell some story. Be it, you know, who's in there, great-grandmother, those type of things. I started photographing. My first wedding was in 2003. And that's just the manner in which we do. Now, I photograph. If you go to the website, storyboardlife.com, you'll see the music. So we do music, and I've been on tour with the band. So, but it came from what can we preserve, what can we tell? Because I would love to have pictures of my parents when they got married. My dad was a Navy SEAL, I was telling you. And when they got married, he was being shipped off somewhere, and they said, all right, we got to get married. Let's go to the Justice of the Peace, and that was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his friends found out because they saw it in the newspaper that his SEAL buddy was now married. That's how that came about. And then that started. So we have no photographs of my parents being married or even in my mom having a wedding dress on or anything like that.
Really?
All we have is, you know, later on after they're married and, you know, we traveled all over the place and that type of thing. But the heart of it is we're telling stories for future generations, you know?
I mean, absolutely.
You can think of, I think, not too long ago, I saw something on Yahoo that they were auctioning photographs, I guess the Carpathia, that went after the Titanic to take the survivors. And you'll see pictures of boats out there, and they're pictures of boats. But it's the meaning behind them that gives them the value.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
You know, because they were selling them, I don't know, 30-some thousand for the collection and that type of thing. So I can go and take a picture of a boat, too. But it's the meaning behind it and who's in it.
But wedding photography, that strikes me as a very high-risk job.
You think so?
Well, I mean, I watch like that Bridezilla show.
Oh.
I mean, what's the secret sauce? Do you just take a gazillion pictures and then you show them the ones that turn out good? Or?
Well, I mean, you want to take a lot of pictures, but I guess that comes into the selling aspect of mm-hmm. it. Yeah. You want to become their friend. You want to become, they have to believe in what you do. Because when they hire me to come in, you know, sometimes we don't have a lot of time to take photographs. And the bride has to trust me enough that if I want them to go, hey, let's try over here, let's photograph this, they're going to go, okay, whatever you want to do. That's what they have to build into it. So when you talk to a bride or a potential customer, just the same thing, Javi, with you, is, you know, you have to believe in what I'm going to do. Because I've been at a wedding, we had one not too long ago, that we had a trolley who's supposed to pick us up. Wedding started at 12, we're supposed to be there at 10, surprise, surprise, we're there at 11. That means the bride starts walking down 11, you know, people, you can't do anything at 11:40. So we have 40 minutes to get the groom shots, the bride and bridesmaid, her getting ready and that type of mm-hmm. thing. So the bride has to trust what we're going to do because she believes in, you know what, I'm getting these photographs for my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And that's kind of long story short about how we're Storyboard Life and what the name represents.
Yeah, because it's more than just weddings, too. You're doing, I mean, you're selling and doing this type of service for bands, as you mentioned.
Yes.
And then there's some, I think, You had some work in Haiti also, which I thought was pretty slick.
Yeah, about a month after the earthquake, I traveled down there with a group and didn't really know where I was going, and they said I was going to Port-au-Prince. So we stayed there for about 7 or 8 days and slept on concrete. And when we did food distribution, I photographed the children there and the people there. And I'm glad you brought that up. And what I wanted to do was, during any kind of disaster, we always see, you know, the heart-wrenching, you know, limbs everywhere and that type of thing. And that gets the press, you know, that's... But what I wanted to do was get in there and photograph up close to the children's faces, what people were going through, but more of the humanity of who they are, because they're the ones who are left behind.
Right.
I mean, Haiti has had a horrible history with the governments there, and they're not really free to, you know, to kind of be entrepreneurs as much as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
But and they're the ones who are going to have to rebuild. So I wanted to focus on the children who were there, and the men and women and the older generation, and really get up close. In fact, one of the ladies I photographed won a small international award, you know, accolade.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll say, congratulations.
Yeah, she was in it. Well, thanks.
Well, I when you showed me his pictures before we went on the air,
yeah.
First of all, it knocked my socks off the way he's able to capture. But I was thinking about maybe a family reunion would be a cool place, because there every October in Bonifay, Florida, we go down there and all the men have this chin, and you know some of them, and every year, you know, a couple of them die off. And I mean, I would yeah. love to have a professional come down and just get candid shots of talking to great grandmother and Aunt Fanny and you know the whole bit. Have you ever thought about doing a family reunion or ever done one?
I haven't done a family reunion per se, but I certainly would. So that, we can talk afterwards.
That's a heck of
want.
A storyboard.
Yeah, well,
think,
it actually
yeah.
is. It's same thing with at weddings and the reception when grandmothers, great grandmothers are there.
Yeah,
that's really right. Almost like a reunion. It's pretty much, you know, if it's a destination wedding, you're going to have family members who they haven't seen in years.
Right, right.
We want them to interact. So, I mean, one of the things you may notice on my slides, I do try to take a lot of over the shoulder shots. Because
mm-hmm. yeah.
that's how people are interacting. If we just see profile people looking, we don't, you know, whatever there's going on. But if we can go over the shoulder, we can see their expression. We can see what they're doing,
nice.
Nuances to who they are. And every family has nuances. You said about a chin, right? Every
right.
family, just like every couple, I photograph couples' hands because every couple holds hands differently. There are nuances in their
oh,
relationships.
Wow.
You got to find those and you got to photograph those because that's unique to them. And their children, great-grandchildren, all that, they're going to see it. Because long story short is we want to take photographs that, you know, great-granddaughter child is going to go, Grandma, you look beautiful. That's what we're going after. That's what we're doing.
So I like that idea because it's you're building, and I think you even started off sharing your value. You're not a photographer. You help retain legacy and build legacy.
Yeah.
I like that idea. And it's not unlike, Javi, as you were talking about Targa Latino, and you talk about, your value proposition, if you will, sounded like, as I'm paraphrasing, is I help build buzz. I help build word-of-mouth excitement around your brand, around your offering, whatever that might be. It's really the special sauce that you bring to the table.
Yes, and my company is a good example of what we do.
Your company, Target Latino?
Yes.
So say more about that.
We never go on pitch for any client. They come to us.
Really?
Yes.
I like that idea.
That's impressive.
That is nice.
We generate word of mouth. And when people search for us on the internet, they call and they say, I kept on finding you.
Really?
You showed up on every single search. Whatever we search for, Target Latino showed up.
So is that a function of...
It doesn't appear on every single search. It happens that they were looking for a specific thing that we do.
But that speaks to the way things are now. If you know you have a meeting with Javi,
yes.
One of the first things you're going to do is go look her up, go look up her firm. If I've got a meeting with you on Friday and we haven't met, what am I going to do? I'm going to hit Google tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see what I can find out about this person. And that wasn't the way it was 5-6 years ago, right?
Absolutely.
So you make a lot of decisions about the people you might be doing business with before you ever meet them now. It's a whole new world, yeah?
I'm going to take it one step ahead from that. Looking for a person, looking for a company, it's sometimes very easy because most people use the URL of the name of their company and therefore they rank higher. So if they're looking for your company, but most people when they look for your services or your products, they're not looking for you. They're looking for what you do.
Yes. Or what you're going to do for them, right?
That is exactly it. Yeah. What you can do. I mean, that's what you do. What do you offer?
Right.
So they're not going to look for Peter for Peter. You know, they're going to look for Peter. They're going to find millions of Peters. In his case, they're going to look for wedding photography.
Mm-hmm.
And how hard is it to actually rank high for wedding photography?
I bet it's not easy.
Very.
Look at my company.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate that.
Just, I'll give you an example. And you have a computer right there. You can Google it right now. Type Hispanic grassroots.
Okay.
That's it. No Atlanta, no anything, because we work national.
Uh-huh.
No Atlanta, no nothing. And you will see that Target Latino comes up in the first three results. They are us.
Got it. So, but let me ask this, because I absolutely understand, because there's certain magic to search engine optimization, absolutely. But again, it's still, they may pull up your firm, and they may pull up another firm that is talking. So it's really the differential is going to be what? Why would someone choose you over choosing over your competitor?
You're talking about conversion on the website then.
Well, not so much conversion, because it's going to be, you know, because now we're talking about a lead, right? We're talking about someone who comes into you. How do we turn them into a customer?
Well, that is a different process altogether.
Right.
That is a sales funnel.
Okay.
And that's your expertise.
True. But you have expertise because you're successful. Well, let's go look at one of your customers. And because you have some, I think, a really great example of one of your customers that has success with you. Could you share what's one of your...
Well, all of our customers had success.
Yes, thank you again. I appreciate that.
Here he goes again with his partial endorsement. Some of the work you do is okay, you know?
All right, Stone, thanks. Appreciate that. So, Javi, yes. All of your customers love you. Do phenomenal work for all of your customers.
Yes.
Thank you so much. But what's? Can you have an example of someone that you'd like to talk to?
We can talk about something way in the past so that I don't reveal any confidential information.
Okay.
Let's talk about this tourism company.
Mm-hmm.
And tourism is also a very, very hard to get to rise to the top. And you do get to people online. So we implemented a very much online strategy for them with an offline strategy component.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually targeted and identified online certain key influencers that would actually carry the word outside. Imagine you have a sales force.
Mm-hmm.
That is free.
Okay. For generating leads.
Carries your message forward.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because you're working on the word of mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have to get to these people with something that calls their attention enough to be able to be worth it and become vital.
Got it. Okay.
On the other hand, you have to have a presence so that they get to see you, they get to see who you are, and you have to have a persona.
And is that persona, you're only creating it online, or you're also creating that persona in person?
I create a persona I imbue it within the company, within the organization.
Okay.
So for this particular tourism company that had something very, very specific, which was historic tours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And totally new stories and really incredible. What we did for them was to create a persona of really a helpful type of persona to their company.
Okay.
Even if it isn't what we do, if you're traveling to our part of the world,
mm-hmm.
we're here to help and we will provide you an answer. So within 3 months, we engaged over 5,000 Twitter followers.
Mm-hmm.
In 3 months.
Wow.
We ranked them, we did a whole revamping of their site with what was all in Flash. And it's just, oh my God.
Very sexy.
Well, no, Flash does not index on search engines.
True.
So
yeah.
You can have some Flash, but you have to have some...
Some HTML other, to yeah. be able to capture that. Okay.
In 3 months, we got them to rank for 7 keywords on the first page of Google.
Okay.
And we increased their sales by 15% in the first 6 months.
Wow. So in that, when you were increasing their sales, was that only conversions on the website, or were they actually helping, working with their sales team to say, here's some messaging that you might want to use?
It was all through online and that other type of referral that we did on the offline.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. So that made it, so the word of mouth actually helped them get in the door, did a lot of conversion, helped them improve their conversion from their website. So you made a lot of changes to their website and to their offline presence to helping them get in the door. Wow. Interesting. So you actually, it's interesting because I look at the word sales. When we think of sales, we have to think of, unfortunately, a lot of times here, we think of used car salesman, right? And so it has a charged word.
You'd look good in a plaid jacket and a cigar, I think.
Well, coffee's only for closers, I'll have you know, Stone. And so with that said, I think if I go, has everyone, let me ask this, has everyone bought something from Amazon, Amazon.com?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How many salespeople have you guys spoken with and worked with at Amazon.com?
I think I spoke to one person.
Really?
I think I called or something. I don't know. I bet maybe in the mid-90s, it was just a two-second, thank you very much, and
done.
That was it.
Stone, how many?
I've never spoken to one. My daughter's never spoken to one to buy something. Spoke to one on a customer service issue.
And
it was, she will buy a car from Amazon if she can. She loves them. So, they've just been terrific.
Well, yeah, they're everything. And now, you think about that. How many?
I never spoke to anybody Amazon, but I have spoken to the geniuses that actually help Amazon increase their conversion rate.
Again, so that's interesting. So there's a whole bunch of design. So the sales world of what was...
There's a whole lot of strategy behind it.
Oh,
absolutely. There's a lot of trial. There's a lot of thought put behind it. It doesn't happen overnight. Don't expect to go to a consultant or word of mouth and say, okay, make it happen.
Oh, absolutely.
We have to get to know what you do. We have to get to know how you do it. We have to get to know a lot of things in order to come up with the most impactful way.
Yep.
To achieve your goals.
It's getting to know your client and also your client and then also and what who they're and what they're trying to make an impact. Makes sense. I like that. So, Peter, if I come back to where we are in regards to selling your services, you know, you have an interesting, how does that resonate out there? Because are you as doing much in regards to website and conversions or are you talking with your clients?
It's going to be word of mouth. Is going to be mostly. I mean, they're going to see the website and go, oh, I really like that or I don't, those type of things. But a lot of times I think it's going to be word of mouth first, and then they're going to see it, my work and the style, and then they'll contact me. Because the first thing I ask them is, have you seen my work? Do you trust it? Is that something that you would like to see in your own photographs?
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of go from there. Because if they don't like the style, then it's just, you know... The price is going to be price prohibitive for them if they just want to find somebody just to take shots. But the main thing is you're finding, let me see how this is, you're finding people who value the story and why they want photographs for their wedding. Okay? Because I was just thinking about, I was at a particular wedding a couple months back, and it just kind of occurred to me that you'll have some clients who will, you know, they'll go and it's not my clients, but bride and groom will pay, let's say, $500 for a photographer to come up there. It almost seems like when you're doing that, you know, you just want someone to come. I mean, to take photographs. If that's the case, I mean, there's, you know, everybody's a photographer out there. You might as well just find, you know, your friends to do it for that amount, because you just want someone, because typically someone who's going to charge $500 isn't going to have a contract, you know, to sign, this is what I'm going to give you, this is what I'm not going to give you, or what have you on there. But typically with this type of industry, there are so many photographers, quotations out there, that it's, you know, it's really hard to, you know, get on the first page of Google. You can kind of go and look at their page source and see what they're doing and that type of thing, but it's pretty difficult. So you really have to rely on your... she's saying no.
Yeah, no, saying it isn't. No.
Okay. I guess I'll have to talk to her. But most of mine, you know, I shoot weddings, but a lot of mine is now on special projects, like a breast cancer project. And that one I was able to get, I think I have 4 or 5 on the first page under breast cancer photo shoot.
Wow.
Yeah. And because I haven't seen anything out of it, but every time when I searched for it, most people, they would just get women together and they weren't breast cancer survivors or directly affected by it. And that's what we did, and that's what we're doing. That's at projectstoryboard.com. But a lot of it's just going to be word of mouth. That's the main thing is going to, because then all of a sudden they're familiar with you. Or, you know, through networking events, they're going to see the style and go, you know what, that's really good. I can trust you. This is what I want. This is what I want to have as far as for albums and that type of things. Because really, we're looking at the first volume of that couple's relationship together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that it's once they find you, and like you said, using the web to be found can be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Although Javi may have, she may have a secret sauce, as we're saying.
Every time these two guys say something, she shakes her
this,
head.
Imagine this. Peter generates word of mouth because of his work. People say, hey, yeah. I love my photographer. You have to use him. Usually women who are getting married, they have other friends who are getting married in the same age.
Oh, that's a good point.
And therefore, it passes around.
Right.
Imagine if that word of mouth that his work generates, uh-huh, being as good and fantastic as he is, and I can see the photography. So I can, I'm not exaggerating.
And you too can see it at storyboard.com.
Yes.
Storyboardlife.com.
Nice. Storyboardlife.com. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that again, Peter.
And imagine if you light a fire behind it, you put a strategy around it, and you say, okay, if we do X, Y, and Z, we multiply this. Now, our problem, and this is the problem that I have with my clients, is if I generate this much demand for you,
mm-hmm,
can you handle it?
Wow, that's an interesting challenge. So you've been so, mm-hmm, successful with some of your clients that, or all of your clients.
Yes. He can be taught.
That, in fact, you have to make sure that they have the capacity to support.
That's one of my usual questions.
Really?
What do you have as a backup? What happens if there's so many people in here?
Now, Stone, let me ask you this. So if you had one of the initial questions in an interview, so Hobby's going to do potential some work with Business Radio X.
Right.
Helping to do some promotion. And one of the questions she is, will you be able to handle 100,000 new leads? And what would your response be?
Well, it would knock my socks off, but it would differentiate her from the other 9 people that I would be talking to that day about marketing, because, I mean, that would really set you apart. It's an intelligent question.
It's a brilliant question.
And if it really does work, it is going to create, and for a small business, it's not just a smart, alecky, cute trick. It really can actually cause a problem.
I don't ask it as a trick.
Right.
No, I
ask
know
it
you
because
don't.
I know what can happen.
Well, and it can actually hurt us more than it'll help us. For me, it would really set her apart for me. Just asking the question, and then I wouldn't know how to answer it, but it would certainly make me want to really think it through.
There is no better way to kill a bad product than good advertising.
That's interesting. Yeah. Or how about a
and
good
that
product?
Goes, and that goes for... you know, most B2B people, just they always say, oh, no, you know, just it doesn't apply to us. B2B and B2C, it's people who are buying from you. It's just a different segment.
Yeah, absolutely. B2B, business to business, or business to consumer, absolutely, yeah.
Target Latino is B2B.
Right, absolutely. So you're helping to make sure that your clients are able to do that. So I think about that in your case, Peter, if you had that type of question posed to you, because you have a capacity.
Yes, he does.
You know, almost say, what is your capacity? What's your capability? You don't scale as an individual, but you probably have some contractors or people that you can work with. But that would be a whole nother.
His price would go up.
That's true.
Double your fee. That's the first thing you do.
Well, you can always, I mean, we have assistants that we use. I mean, there's been situations where I had a wedding in Alabama and then sent a photographer to South Carolina for the weekend to shoot a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where you can start getting your price differentiation. You know, if they're going to pay for me, then it's going to be a little bit higher. If it's pay for someone else, you know, that's going to be for someone who has a lower budget. Because, you know, just like in any kind of relationship, photographers is not for everybody. I'm not going to be for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe because of style, budget, those type of things. So... just like in the car industry, you know, you can spend $100-some thousand on a Mercedes, or you can spend $30,000, You know, you're gonna expect a whole lot more of the 100. You can expect a little bit less for the 30. You're not gonna walk in there and say, you know what? I'll tell everyone about you if you just let me spend 30 for this $100,000. That's just not gonna happen.
But okay? People say that about photography
all the time. You know, and you can understand it because there's so many photographers. Hey, I'll do it for free and that type of thing. And Javi, when you're talking about the lead time, in the past, I think 6 weeks. I've done 4 or 5 weddings, and they're all finished. I had a 2-day Indian wedding. A lot of times the lead times will be 6 months. Not 6 months, 6 weeks. You know, we take the photographs, and then in 6 weeks you expect to see them. My turnaround time, lead time is a week, maybe 2 weeks per wedding. And that's differentiated too, because, you know, you have people that are like, oh, I'll get it to you in 6 weeks or 2 months.
Everybody's waiting for the photos.
Everyone's waiting, I kind of say that what happens is photographers are attempting to, quotations, create art from their mistakes, and that's why they're waiting so long. I mean, if I'm not excited about some photographs, yeah, I'll take a little bit longer because I'm trying to make them look like art rather than getting it right in the camera, having the framing composition. For example, we did an engagement session with this couple, and he's really tall and she's shorter. And so I emphasized their height difference, but he didn't like being in front of the camera, and you could see it. So he was a tall, slender guy, you know. So I was like, all right, you're the oak in this relationship, you know, and I want you to sit there and stand there. And we're going to have you sort of the protector that somebody that she can come to and protection, you know. Mm-hmm. Women want that, right? Most women. And that's what we emphasized. So that was on, I don't know, Wednesday, and they had their engagement photos on Friday. We get everything right in the camera, and we use the effects to give it more of a feeling aspect. But it's more of a lead time, and you're right. So if you ask me, hey, would you like to have 50? Yeah, I could do that. We could do that, because we're going to find not everyone's going to spend $5,000 to $10,000 on a wedding. So we can always find other people and who are my style, who are trustworthy, who
would be in the budget range.
In the budget range, but also who's going to give you the overall style that I'm able to give you.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So at this point, I'd like to...
I want to clarify that it's not like I know the wedding industry because of first-hand experience, but because I...
That's a whole other show. We got to have
everybody. No. Because I had a client which I winged out that was a national manufacturer in the wedding industry.
Okay.
And I increased their sales with a whole repositioning of their product within the retailers, over 4,000 retailers all over the country, by 300% with the first launch in the first month.
Wow. First month.
Yeah.
300% growth. Wow, and
in the Latino market, U.S.
Okay,
US.
Interesting. And that was all, again, through word of mouth and everything that you do, all the magic that you bring to the table, so to speak.
And that was repositioning a whole lot of their offer, a whole lot of their product, inclusive, you know, just so it's not. So that's how I know so much about his industry.
His industry. Interesting. All right. So we're Atlanta Sales Talk Radio, so the idea is talking about sales. So, and this is kind of the what I'll call the pay it forward section of this. So, for people that are interesting, that are entering or thinking about entering either your industry or entering really sales and going into the sales world, because as I always like to say, is that everybody's in sales. We have to do our own business development. We have to sell, and sell, whether it's selling internal to an organization, selling the idea, or whatever. So, with all that said, what would you offer as guidance, as counsel to someone who might be coming to you and asking, hey, what did you learn over your time in sales or doing business development? And what kernel might you be able to share?
I would say that the first one is don't go in debt.
Don't go in debt.
Don't go in debt. Confession, my first wedding was, I think I charged $300 for that. And I bought a lens because I wanted to be cool for $500.
Well, my first wedding cost me a lot more than that. I'm just saying.
I think the main thing
that's
is
a whole other show in itself, too, I think.
The other thing is going to be the business side. You have to focus on the business side. A lot of photographers will go and say, I just got to make my stuff really awesome. And, you know, artistic and those type of things. That will come. The more you do something, the better you will become at it. If you're photographing a lot, you will become a better photographer. But if you're not if you're not paying attention to the bottom line, how much it's costing you to be a real, to be realistic with it, then you're going to find yourself, oh my gosh, I need it. You know, you're going to end up giving it up. You know, a lot of times photographers will go buy all this equipment for $5,000 and say, okay, I'm ready to be a photographer, when they would have been fine renting. There's some great stores, PPR Atlanta. There's a will rent you $5,000. Equipment for, you know, $100. So you can go, you could shoot a wedding for $500 and have top of the line quality equipment.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay. So you need to and then another thing is going to be, I think, price differentiation and able to offer something extra than just what you do and even more than your personality and who you are. So for example, if you go to my website under investment, it says that my prices go from free to $22,000.
Mm-hmm.
I do offer free wedding photography, which means you don't pay for me, you pay for the prints. Now, obviously, if you want a wedding, in a year, you're not going to get that one. That's, you know, there's some requirements of, hey, we want to get married in 3 months, you know, those type of things. The other thing is you want to offer, for example, there's a book that I, on my blog, My Storyboard Life, is called Finding Your Perfect Wedding Photographer, or How to Find a Wedding Photographer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 30-page book on what you need to do to find your perfect wedding photographer, no matter what your budget is, where you're going to have the wedding, and those type of things. Because like I said, not
educating
everybody...
the customer. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no... I mean, not everyone's going to be for me as far as their wedding photographer. But I want them... You never want... I've heard so many stories. I wish we would have known about you. I wish we would have done this. We paid way too much. I just spoke to a lady who, you know, we had almost get the law involved because, you know, well, let's do a little bit more research and see what the lead time is and those type of things. And let's give them the information. Because I think if they can trust me, then I'm like, you know, I want what's best for you. And they like my style, then you'll pay more for people you'll trust, for things that you'll trust, for things that you'll believe in. You'll put that money in there if you know you're going to get some kind of investment return on it.
So gleaning, distilling that down is, first off, don't go in debt and to get into the business, and also bring some value to them. Even if it's ultimately, you know, paying it forward, if you're giving some value to them, whether or not, without expectation that they're going to do business with you in this particular case. Interesting.
Yes.
Good. Appreciate that, Peter. All right. Javi.
Plan your strategy. Plan your sales strategy.
Okay. Say more about that. So
don't go blind into, okay, I build my company and you focus only on what you provide.
Okay.
And you stop thinking about how the people who see you are going to perceive you.
Okay.
You have to understand what's your strategy to get, who are you selling to?
Got it. Okay, I see. So really be clear, get clarity around who you're going to be going after and what you're going to be doing in
the
market.
What do you do? How do you find them? What do these people, how do these people find your services and your products?
Interesting.
So you have to find and have this type of strategy. On the other hand, from personal experience, I can advise, if you are not a person who likes to go out and call on the phone and make phone calls and follow up and so on and so forth, and you're more of the laid-back type, rely heavily on inbound marketing. Generate word of mouth so that people come to you already with the need.
Mm-hmm. So really, distilling like I did with Peter was the idea, have a strategy before you go into this, whatever business it might be, and be focused. Know who you're going after and be focused on that particular market segment that you're
even if you're not going into a new business and you say, you know what, I need to increase my sales.
Okay.
How do you go about that? You have to evaluate. You have to get, either you do it or you get a consultant to do it for you.
Got it. That makes sense.
Because you can't see the label from inside of the bottle.
Mm-hmm. No. So you, it has
I
to
like
make sense
that. I'm writing
them,
that down. You can't see the label from the inside. I like that.
Yeah, that's a special sauce right there.
So you have to see it from the outside. And again, if you want something different and you're what you... Because if you keep on doing the same, what are you going to get?
Mm-hmm.
Same product, same company, same service.
Isn't that an Einstein saying, right? You know,
sanity.
Something has to change. So you have to see it from a different perspective. If you want to know more about what we have done for our clients, there's some use cases on our website, targetlatino.com.
Targetlatino.com.
And it's not the Latino version of Target.
Okay, I got it. And so that's a great point. So how else can they get in touch with you, Javi?
Well, they can find me on Twitter, Target Latino.
Target Latino.
And they can find me, Claudia Goffan, on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Feel free to reach out to me. I'm very open and friendly and, you know, just friend me, I'll friend you back.
There you go. I like that. And if reach out to you, do you have a phone number? Because you have several locations. You have several phone numbers.
We have offices in Buenos Aires, Atlanta, and New York.
Okay. They're all over the place. There. It's a multicultural global firm. That's absolutely
right. I think we should do the next show in Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires. I think they make
take a trip.
I agree.
All right. And Peter, and how can they reach you?
Storyboardlife.com is the main website. Everything will be from there. Also on Twitter, Storyboard Life. Facebook is facebook.com/Peter Doyle. Pretty much if they type in Storyboard Life on Google,
they will
find me.
Outstanding.
Absolutely.
And then one last question, and we'll wrap this up. And Stone, I know I like the little informal survey. So we know that the last couple of years has been kind of tumultuous in our economies of late. So I like to see, so based on what you're seeing in the marketplace and in the wedding and photography industry, what do you think is happening? Are we staying the same?
Wedding is recession-proof. Everybody gets married.
Okay, so he's not going to be a good example. So, but from your perspective...
We're making millions.
You're not making millions, but, you know...
So don't bother calling Peter because he's doing so good.
His industry is going very high-end and very, very do-it-yourself. So it's, you know...
Dividing.
Yeah. And it's been several years that has been taking place.
Did you know that, Peter?
Yes, I did.
He lives it.
So you guys are talking, we're talking about the whole wedding industry. We're learning things. It's a whole other show, as Stone likes to say. So with that said, so what do you see happening just from your perspective?
Let's not go into the economy or anything, but I can tell you one thing.
Okay.
Whatever happens, Target Latino will go through it with flying colors.
Outstanding.
That's
the right answer.
Well, personally, I survived 4,000% a year inflation in Argentina doing strategic pricing for Xerox.
Wow.
And I made the money.
So if
with a strategy that was more expensive than the rest, then people took it.
Wow. So if you can survive in that type of inflation, you can survive anywhere, as I say.
Exactly.
I like that. Peter, what do you think?
I think people purchase what they want to purchase, and they will put money where they want it, where they think it's important. That's what it comes down to. And we can't assume that the client can afford only what we can afford. We don't know what they have. We don't know what their savings are. There are people out there who've been saving from age 5 for their weddings. You have no idea. We all know millionaires, you know, who don't look like they are. Mm-hmm. You cannot assume that, well, I can't, you know, I'm going to do my pricing strategy for what I can afford. Don't ever do that. But it's kind of what I have to say. There's going to be people who are going to pay a lot into it because they just want someone to do a great job. And the best customers are the ones who pay a lot because... They say, you know what? Because, you know, they're going to say, you know, just like anybody else, I just want you to do a great job. I'm going to give you the freedom to do it. And then you're going to have people who are restricted through their budget. You know, and everybody's, and so on something like that, then you're like, you know what? I'm not just going to, you know, wait for the elephant, I don't want to say elephants, the high ticket customers. But maybe it's then all of a sudden, you know what? I would be glad to go and shoot your 5-hour wedding. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to have limits. You know, I'm only going to be there for a limit for a certain amount of time. I've done weddings that's for 13 hours, you know, and then we're done. And there's some that will do it for 3 or 4 hours.
So
our pricing is going to be commensurate to what they're going to get. Just like, again, with the car. If I'm going to get a $30,000 Mercedes, I do not expect that I'm going to get a $100,000 car with that. But they're going to be really happy with what they're going to get. Now, you may add things to it. It's like
Chick-fil-A. Mercedes is going to take offense on that.
Maybe. But it's kind of like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has high-priced food, all right? But they never give sales. They will give it away. You can always get those coupons. and they will always give it away, but they do not have sales.
Another recession-proof.
Well,
that's right.
In his case, you know, he adjusts the pricing. We don't. We have a set rate like
consultants
do.
The pricing doesn't adjust.
It depends on, you know, the budget of the client, which is what we work within.
Okay, good. So
I was going to say, it doesn't, you know, you're going to, if it's less time, then you're going to pay less.
Well, no, but it's different in your case as a consultant.
Okay.
We work within the client's budget.
Yeah. Okay, so we're all on the same.
And so my question was how the economy's going, and I'm not sure how we got it.
The economy, I think, is the economy's always going to be perception on it. If people are living below their means, then it's not going to affect them as much as someone who's living at, I'm spending 125% of my income.
All right. Peter, thank you. I got that. All right.
We're going to transition out to the Dave Ramsey show.
There you go. All right. So with that said, we are wrapping it up. And I wanted to thank you so much, Claudia.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure.
And Peter, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
Some really good insights and some good perspectives. And again, this is Steve Cadley with Stone Payton with Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. And reminding everyone that you are all in sales and we are all in sales. And so with that note... happy selling, and until next time.